Alrighty, Jeremy, you still there?
Yes, mate. Yep, here.
Okay, fantastic. So we're live on air now, and really appreciate the time that you're sharing with us today. And if there's anything that we can do via our blog or otherwise, you know, we'd be more than happy to reciprocate. So having a brief conversation before we kicked off, just in terms of how I learned about you and your story, just through the podcast that you were recently featured on. I've seen a lot of the publicity and press that's come off the back of that, which is enormously impressive. But just for some of our readers and listeners, if you wouldn't mind, perhaps just to kick off sharing a little bit of your story in terms of how you started taking finance and investing so seriously from a very young age, and where that's taken you to today.
Yeah, no, as mentioned prior in many blogs as well as articles that have been written, look, it was a process which started at a very early age. And that process stems through from your parents. If you're not lucky enough to have your parents, it still can be self-taught. You know, there's many articles, there's many books, and there's a lot of information out there for one to gain, you know, their financial security well into the future. And I always say to people that there's no early time to start. So that's very beneficial. But for myself, mate, it really start at the age of around about, so I'd say 15, 16. It's, as I mentioned in a prior interview, that I received 1,000 Telstra shares at the age of 13 years for my 13th birthday. And it was something where at the time I didn't appreciate very much. I wanted the new bike for the PlayStation as my friends were getting. But as I really started to listen to my father, who was an accountant, has been an accountant for the last 35 years, at one of Australia's leading accounting firms, it was just, you know, our roundtable discussions about money, about saving, about looking forward to the future, about the power of the compounding interest effect of what a dollar today is saved and how that equates into many years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we got started at a fairly early age talking about finance. And then, obviously, once I graduated school in year 12 and started my journey at university to finalise my accounting degree, I was lucky enough to get a job as an accountant, an undergraduate accountant, which was a small firm, very small firm, very new and established. And our niche was, and we wanted to move into that way of property investing. So I've always been told, you know, save your money, buy a house, and that's how you really start the platform for success in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw these successful investors at such an early age doing their income tax returns, you know, 18, 19-year-old, very influential kid, I quite quickly saw the success that they were having. And that was very, very early on in the Sydney boom. And, you know, the prices that I saw then, and I look back now and I think, wow, you know, what a bargain it was.
Absolutely. So just if I can cut in there, because I was very curious as to, you know, I understood from the previous interview everything about, you know, your father and also your university and work experience. But in terms of, like, why property and that question of or how you kind of were introduced to property, did that all stem from some of those early clients that you saw coming into this accounting practice and reviewing their investments? Is that what gave you the inclination?
Definitely right. And it's a good combination of obviously what we spoke about at the dinner table and obviously seeing firsthand of what these people were buying and the yields that they were getting at that particular time, which was fantastic at 7-8%, and the prices they were buying at, and looking back at historical data from the 2000 to 2003 boom and what they were purchasing for was absolutely astonishing. So it was a lot to do with that, and that's what really got me started with property, because
wow.
I saw people who necessarily, and in all, I suppose, in all fairness, you know, they worked really hard, but by all means, we're not rocket scientists.
Sure.
Who worked hard and were able to save their money and didn't have, you know, doctor degrees, being able to successfully provide, you know, for their future and for their family as well. So it was a very much a no-brainer that property was the way to get success without not necessarily having all the skills to, I would suppose, calculate the market correctly, mate. We're not all doctors, and we're definitely not all financial analysts out there. So it's a very
and
solid.
And just to clarify, was this practice that you're talking about? Was there Their focus was very much on kind of wealth accumulation through property, or did that just happen to be one of the many things that this accounting firm kind of did?
Well, I was blessed enough to have a mentor, and I still work with the same accounting firm of which I'm a transitioning partner, which is fantastic.
Right.
But
wow,
you know, the gentleman who I work with had at least about 10 to 15 properties in his portfolio at that particular stage.
Is that right? I see.
And, you know, migrated from overseas as well. And, you know, these are the things that I saw as, you know, what was not given any tools to succeed in life, but against all odds, done it.
Mm-hmm.
And done
mm-hmm.
really well. So it was quite easy to look up to people like that and say, you know what, this is the way to go. And with a little bit of knowledge, research and learning, as well as first-hand experience of getting out there and doing all the open homes, one can succeed and concede quite easily as well.
Fantastic. Well, no, it's a terrific story. I can relate to little parts of that just in brief with the Telstra shares. I come from a Jewish family, and you know, when you turn 13 as a Jewish kid, you have a bar mitzvah, and a lot of people give you gifts and presents there as well. I remember receiving a couple of BHP shares. Unfortunately, I haven't done as much with them as you've done with those Telstra ones, but you know, it is terrific, and I think it does stem from, you know, both our respective cultures taking money seriously and coming to a new country and really having to spend for themselves and make a new life and hopefully a prosperous one and all of the kind of ambition and drive that comes with that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's something that's very close to your heart. Is that right?
Mate, it is. It definitely is. And you know, I look back and I look at people and I'm a son of a migrated family. I born here obviously in Australia. And, you know, I look back at the tools that they had to succeed, and, you know, English wasn't their first language, and they really didn't know a lot about the culture or what to do, but they knew to come here, they knew to work hard, and this was a land of opportunity, and still is a land of opportunity. It's a place where, you know what, if you really want something and you're prepared to do the hard yards for it, no one can take that away from you.
Fantastic. All righty, Jeremy. Well, let's get on to the next kind of section then, just in terms of some of the specifics as to how you now think about property and what you do. I'm really curious as to, you know, how you may have set your early goals, and you know, you've obviously accumulated quite a substantial property portfolio now. How do you think about goal setting today in the context of what you want to achieve by way of, you know, your wealth journey, your property journey, and, you know, how do you even start thinking about some of those same conversations around goal setting with people that you mentor and talk to about their circumstances?
Yeah, mate, look, goal setting is very important. I'm a very goal-orientated person as well. So initially when I have an initial meeting or first meeting with a client who I've just met for the first time, the first thing I do is obviously introduce myself, but then I start straight into it about goals. What are your goals?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to achieve? What do you want from this? And, you know, I'm very focused in the sense that at the start of a new year, I always set my goals. I have about 5 prime goals and then some sub-goals off that. And I work, you know, that 365 day of that year to work towards those things that I initially set out to do. So giving direction and having direction in property investing is very important, because you can quite easily sway away to different things. But initially speaking, when I was younger, I said, you know, I wanted to get rich and I wanted to drive the fast cars and wanted to have all that success. But obviously, you know, as you start to get a little bit older and you get more experienced, as well as mature in age, you know, those tend to change, and you tend to want goals which, you know, are in line with the person who you are and obviously in line for a future. So I always say my initial goal in property is by 30. And looking back at the age now, 26, I'm not too far away, having 9 in the current portfolio. But at the same token, I don't feel that goals should be set in stone. I think sometimes they can be amended and they can be flexible, depending on various different things that may happen in your lifetime throughout that year. But as far as myself, goals are extremely important, and I believe that one shouldn't start into this property investment journey without having some real goals set in stone about where you are and where you want to end up and what's it all for.
Yeah, fantastic. And the types of goals that you're referring to, do they often centre around, you know, how many properties somebody would like in their portfolio and then kind of, you know, just, I guess, sense checking that in terms of what's realistic and you know, drawing that line in the sand, or are there other goals that you come across around, say, you know, a particular type of income that their portfolio might be able to generate, or is there anything else? What are your thoughts
there?
The
first thing I tend to look at is what is their current level of income and how they're feeling living on that current level of income at the present time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tend to say that you need SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and timely. So they're my SMART goals that I like to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And realism is very important. You know, you can't have somebody walking in saying, I want $600,000 to retire on where they're living quite comfortably on $50,000, $60,000.
Sure.
However,
sure.
I think to achieve that and aim for that, but it's very smart to be, you know, realistic about your goals. So I tend to say, well, are you living comfortably on the income you're on? And I say, well, let's work with that as a starting point. And then obviously moving forward from there, we talk about how many or number of properties one would need to achieve, unencumbered to reach that goal.
Yep, yep.
And that's how we move forward in the meeting. And from there, people's expectations of having 50 properties or 100 properties drops quite quickly down to having, say, you know, 7 or 8 unencumbered properties throughout their lifetime, which is more than achievable with the opportunity we have here in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Terrific. All right, so just shifting gears then a little bit, we've touched on you know, some of the goals that can be set and the types of success that can be had and the portfolios that can be built and whatnot, which is fantastic, and certainly in a rising market, reinforced by a lot of the media that we read, it almost sounds you know, that everyone that gets involved in property investing can do very well. However, as we've kind of alluded to in some prior conversations, Jeremy, that you and I have had, we've spoken about the idea that sometimes where we learn most can be through things that may have not worked out as brilliantly as we may have hoped, and kind of almost learning the hard way through particular mistakes that we may have made along our investment journeys. And I was just curious as to whether you, with the many years that you've had investing in property, may have be able to kind of point to a particular investment or a particular mistake in an investment that you may have made or come across, and any on reflection, kind of some of the key things that you've learned as a result of that experience and what you may be doing differently now as a result of that.
But I'll share two instances. One not so much around property, but the next one definitely is. And the first one is obviously I took around about a good solid year of looking at investment properties, going to open homes, attending auctions, researching. And in that space of the year, the property market did increase. However,
right.
I still think it was fundamental in me building the portfolio because it gave me all the ability to understand how properties work, the movements work, prior, past history of properties. So it gave me, it was more an investment. Yes, it did cost me slight a bit of money in terms of the time in the investment.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
I look back and I think it was very valued because it gave me an opportunity to really spend the time to understand how the market works.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to have that balance of, you know, the paralysis analysis and the research and obviously getting involved in investment property.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one instance where I haven't shared too many times. Only the close people around me do know.
Right.
I will share it here today, obviously, of course. I aggressively wanted to build the portfolio quite quickly.
Right.
And I believe it was still part of my self-maturing of age and really understanding myself as a person as well. But I started to research properties where it had, you know, duplex or 3 townhouses on it, relatively
right.
cheap with my budget. I found a duplex, 2 sides renting, for approximately around about $350 per week in an area called Cowra. It's a regional area of New South Wales, and the purchase price was about $155,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I looked purely at the yield and forgot about the fundamentals of my research, which was close to amenities, you know, major arteries in and around cities, schools, you know, highways and bus routes. And they were the fundamentals, and I knew that, but I just was chasing, you know, that property where I could turn into 1 into 2.
Yep.
Entitlement. I bought it. I bought the property, and quite quickly I realised that fantastic rental of $350 per week, which was give or take around about that $175 each side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was very hard to rent out the second side when the tenant left.
I see. So the problem is just with vacancy rates.
Yeah, the vacancy rate was the issue, and because it wasn't close to, you know, major towns or cities, and it wasn't main arteries, and there wasn't a station next to it or train line, it was quite hard to get a tenant quite quickly. So where my positive geared investment was supposed to be fantastic, it actually turned out to be slightly neutral, if not slightly negative, after the rates and interest. So I worked out quite quickly that this was not in line with my goals. It was a silly decision that I made. It was a decision that I rushed into without taking back into the fundamentals that I learned. And I made the decision to sell that within the space of the year and come out very break-even, in the sense after stamp duty costs and sales commission, I was able to sell it and walk away with a bare minimum. I remember the check was about $50. So I was able to walk out of that unscathed. But at the same token, it was part of the learning that, you know, gave me that reality check of don't be so silly and take your time and go back to what you initially started with, which was the fundamentals of property investing.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? And I guess in hindsight, to have walked away as you did was probably a very intelligent move in hindsight. And therefore, it's almost a case, isn't it, Jeremy, of you turning a negative into a positive, not only everything that you've learned and taken away from the experience, but also how you managed to kind of work your way out of this and everything that you would have gained through that decision.
Yeah, and I look at it more so, even if I was to lose a bit of money on that transaction, I still would have looked at it as a bit of an eye-opener and look at it as a learning curve as well, in the sense that, you know, these things can happen. We can get I like to call pickled eye, in the sense that everything looks quite nice, but really deep down we need to make sure we ensure the fundamentals of property investing. Each individual has their own fundamentals, but for me it was to, you know, stay relatively close to major towns or cities and the train station, schools and amenities, which keeps people, obviously.
So that kind of leads me into the next kind of follow-on question then, I guess. Off the back of the experience that you've just described, has that kind of reinforced, your thinking or strategy specifically as it relates to, you know, what types of properties you're looking to now add to your portfolio? Like, for example, would you never go back to the regional town and, the investment that promises a very high yield but may have, vacancy risk and that type of thing? Are you kind of very firm in your thinking and strategy there as a result of the experience that you were talking about?
Yeah, mate, each person obviously has their own philosophy and own fundamentals of property, as I established before and spoke about before. But the answer to that question is, would I never touch something like that again? The answer is definitely not. I think there's a time and there's a place for investments like that to be bought again. At that particular stage of my portfolio, I chase the cash flow. And I necessarily should be looking more so at capital growth, because my key goal was to, you know, build a portfolio where there was capital growth. And, I chased that yield for that cash flow, but in the end, it was actually a bit of a backfire.
So when do you think, just to dig a little deeper, I'd be curious as to, like, were there ways that you could have, solved the problem by finding a tenant for the second property, and or at what stage do you think it may have been a relevant inclusion into a portfolio, or not even yours, but for somebody else's? When do you think it might tick the right box?
Mate, I think when you've got the ability to, obviously, and at that particular stage, I didn't have the ability for negative geared portfolios, negative geared property for my portfolio.
Right.
I think there's a lot of reward with risk, obviously, of course. You know, in this game, there is a bit of risk. We are borrowing money. So there's always an element of risk in property investment, even though slightly less than other investments, but still nonetheless risk. And having this particular property, when I really looked at the growth factors of it, and it wasn't in line with other growth factors that I had in other properties, I realised quite quickly that this wasn't the one for me just yet. So it's definitely something that I would come back to later on in the portfolio, because there are some fantastic deals out there in regional towns where you can pick up block of units where they are yielding quite well. There's properties there where potentially there might be maybe some reasoning for subdivision, maybe not in smaller lots, but definitely bigger lots later on. Mm-hmm. And some regional towns do have their own industry. Like I look at Wagga, which is a regional town, yes, but still very large. And people have made money in Wagga. I look at areas of Dubbo, again, a regional town, but still people have made money in it. So I don't think that going regional is necessarily a bad thing. Personally, I wouldn't buy there just yet for myself. I feel there's other opportunities in and around capital cities of Australia. However, when those prices become, you know, too high or not part of my goals, or not part of my strategy anymore, then definitely that's when I start to look at what regional centres and regional towns have in store for me and what benefits they have for me to look into as a potential area of investment.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. Alrighty, so just to follow on then, I mean, you've already touched on some of these points with respect to focusing on capital cities and the fundamentals that you're interested in with respect to, you know, proximity to schools and public transport and whatnot. But is there anything more specific that you are kind of focused on with respect to your personal strategy for selecting the right investment properties now? And, you know, what type of resources do you kind of leverage to, if any, to find them?
Yeah, mate, very, very good question. And I always tell people I'm very humbled to be in the position that I am in as an accountant, because I do get to see a wide range of investors and what a wide range of investors are doing. And everyone has their own opinion and everyone has their own strategy. So I get to look at many different things happening at one particular time. So it is a very humbling experience to be an accountant, especially in a firm with such great clients who are always educating themselves. That does help. But initially speaking, mate, nothing beats, I suppose, the foot on the ground type of research, which is physically going there, identifying an area through many different channels, maybe using the Australian Bureau of Statistics to understand population increases.
Yeah.
You know, media is a good way to get an understanding of what may be happening. I believe talking and educating yourself with local council requirements are fantastic. Understanding what state governments are doing in their respective states is also very important as well. You know, when I identified Queensland and buying up in Queensland about 3 years ago, I knew the Queensland state government was trying to inject a lot of money into capital expenditure, which of course brings jobs. I also looked at the Australian Bureau of Statistics and saw that the population of Queensland was increasing. And then with their recent, you know, I suppose 4 years, 5 years ago, with all the events that happened with the flood, it's a very depressed economy with the Australian dollar as well being so high. So I looked at all those fundamentals of the area and said, well, that's not a bad place to invest because the prices may have come down, but the rents were still quite high. And the yields, in fact, got higher as the prices got lower. So, you know, those are things I do always try to, I suppose, explain to clients as well as other fellow investors, that don't just look purely on realestate.com, even though that gives you a great understanding of what one area is doing. You need to really look a little bit deeper and speak to local councils. Look at the Australian Bureau of Statistics and understand where population is going. And more importantly, nothing but your foot on the ground. So speaking with local agents, visiting particular areas, getting an understanding of what things are changing, what things are happening. And that's going to give you a bit more, I suppose, insight into a particular area and how it will be looking for the next 10 or 15 years, as this is a long-term investment that we are making.
Yep. Wow, there's just so much knowledge in there. That answer was jam-packed full of very useful information that I think we could all benefit from. So thanks for sharing all of that, Jeremy. Just to kind of you know, start winding things up. I'm conscious of time. You're a busy guy, and I'll let you get back to it. But you know, I'd be curious. Do you have any particular books or other kind of resource recommendations that you can think of that others might find helpful? I mean, you've mentioned the Australian Bureau of Statistics and sources like that for data. So, I mean, you can answer the question in any way you like. Are there other, you know, sources of data maybe that you'd find helpful, or any other kind of more general kind of or inspirational or educational books that you've found useful to assist your wealth and property journey?
Yeah, mate, it's a very good question. And I start to look at, obviously, a little bit more in depth rather than just books and magazines. Obviously, books are fantastic and it does help train the mind a little bit to understand how property investment works. And I always recommend a couple of things to very new investors, like potentially looking at Robert and reading Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad.
It's come up quite a few times, actually. It's definitely a winner.
It's necessarily for the Australian property investing, obviously, written in terms of the American way. But still, it's forget their fundamentals of investing. It's the mindset. Mindset that you create about property investing. So that's very important as well. I love to look. TV is a big part of everyone's time, I suppose.
Right.
And I think I like to watch, and I love watching the Switzer Report on Sky News, or Sky News Business. And I love to listen to Your Money, Your Call, the Property Edition with Margaret Lomas as well. Now, it's more so why I like those areas is, yes, they talk about, you know, other investors, and other investors do call up and share their stories. But I feel that it's good just as a person to understand how property works, because you do have a panel of very experienced property investors. I believe forums are good as well to really educate yourself and get an idea of what other people are thinking. Some people may share some very negative stories, but still there's a lot of positive stories in there to read.
Sure. Are there any forums, Jeremy, that you could reference that might be helpful on these topics?
Yeah, there's a couple there that I do. So, like, Real Estate Talk is not a bad little forum, as well as the Summersoft programs as well. There's a lot of meetings out there now. There's a lot of, you know, monthly or fortnightly meetings that potential buyer's agents or property mentors are holding.
Meetups? Is that what you're referring to?
These are meetups. Definitely here in Sydney, I know there's quite a bit, monthly meetings as well as fortnightly meetings that buyer's agents or other property mentors hold. Mm-hmm. Where a room full of investors who are interested in what the topic may be for that particular night just turn up.
Right.
And for the price of $10 to $20, which is not a lot in terms of investing in your own knowledge. You know, there's abundance of wealth that these mentors do share. There's an abundance of wealth that other investors do have as well. And it's all about talking to other people, getting familiar, and not being afraid to ask someone about, you know, how did you do it? Quite often or not, you'll find that they're more than happy to share their success, more than happy to share their stories, and actually more than happy to help you maybe get started in property investing as well. It's a community where we want everyone to succeed, mate.
That makes complete sense. I'm sure there are, in fact, I've heard of a couple that are down in Melbourne as well. So for any readers or listeners that are in Melbourne, you know, we can perhaps send some notes after the recording here. We can include some links that people might find useful to find out about those too. And Jeremy, then I guess just to wrap up, you know, for anyone that's starting out in this world of investing and property, is there some particular advice that you might be able to provide those people? Perhaps some advice that you wish you knew or you had when you were at their starting point that might be helpful?
Yeah, mate, definitely. There's always a couple of hot tips that I always try to share with people. And obviously the first one is obviously do your research and due diligence. It's very important that you spend the time and invest in your own knowledge. That's very important, because in the end we are buying $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 investments where, you know, if they don't do so well, it does impact us quite significantly. So invest in your own knowledge is very important. And, mate, I'd probably like to say with people it's very important to build your team. I can't stress that enough. You need to build your team. You know, you need to have your advisors there, your financial planners, your buyer's agents, your mortgage brokers are very important in the equation, and your accountants, mate. In the end, your accountants are the ones who will give you that independent advice on the numbers of the asset, in the sense that does it match your strategy from a cash flow point of view. That's essentially our role, is to comment on the pros and cons from a tax point of view, as well as to create effective strategy, mate. So, you know, your professionals will assist you in creating wealth and saving you lots of money in terms of tax as well. That's very important. I believe that team. And I suppose the last one is, mate, it's not easy. It will have its challenges. And you need to, I suppose, embrace those challenges and help overcome those challenges. Because property investing does have its times where it becomes, you know, quite difficult. But if we all say it's too hard and throw the towel in too quickly, then we will miss out on a lot of opportunities. And that I suppose that moves into the last one, mate, which is you need to save. This is not something that comes for free.
Sure.
It's not something
sure.
to make the decision and say, I want to be a property investor. There's a lot of lead-up work to it. And it comes through either, you know, savings or, you know, you might be lucky enough to inherit, or you might be lucky enough to have a property already which you might have some equity in.
Yep.
But all that aside, saving is very fundamental. So we need to have a very good budget and a very good savings plans, because unfortunately no one's going to buy these for you. You need to buy them yourselves, and that comes through a bit of hard work, sweat and tears, and ultimately saving your money.
Yeah, absolutely, and not to mention obviously servicing the loans that assist you on this path as well. So that makes complete sense. And if I could dig just a little on the second point that you raised there around building the right team. Obviously mm-hmm. critical. You can't do all of this yourself, particularly if you're just starting out. You know, that there are a lot of experts out there, all of whom have specialties in their respective fields. How would you recommend people kind of building a quality team of, like you say, brokers and accountants, maybe buyer's advocates, you know, conveyances and whatnot to assist yeah. on this journey? Where do you start if you're kind of new to the world of property investing?
Dan, that's an absolutely fantastic question, actually, and it all comes back down to, you know, them being like-minded with yourself. You know, if they truly believe that your goals are warranted and your goals are realistic, they will assist you. You know, you may have some professionals which believe that you could be full of hot air and it's just going to be two heads butting.
Right.
So I strongly believe that you need to have those like-minded professionals who believe in you, who believe in your goals and your objectives, and who are willing to go the whole hog with you the whole way. So that's something that I always try and sit down with clients and I say, okay, allow me to get on your wavelength. Mm-hmm. And allow me to jump into your shoes and really feel what you want to feel in that essence of how you're going to build this wealth. And that's how we try and align ourselves together to not only work today, but for many years to come.
Yeah.
I also probably suggest that when I built my team, and I did have a team, I had a team of you know, brokers and mentors, mm-hmm. I made sure that they not only talked the talk, but they walked the talk as well.
So
my broker I chose, you know, this was a lovely gentleman, probably I credit him a lot for what he'd done for me and the time that he gave me to really understand, because as an accountant, I don't understand the whole mortgage broking side of things. However, I've many years educated me on it to understand serviceability and loan-to-value ratios and how LMI worked in the tiering system.
Yep,
and this was time that he gave me without not necessarily charging me. But this is, you know, that time allowed me to build that portfolio quite quickly. So, you know, I say to people that you need to have people who believe in your goals, but who also walk the talk. There's no point taking advice of someone who has no investment properties when you're wanting to build a portfolio of 10.
You really need to
do your due diligence as a professional as well, and ensure that they're doing what you're wanting to do.
Fantastic, Jeremy. I think that makes complete sense. All of this has been wildly beneficial to myself personally, and I've got no doubt to our readers and listeners as well. So we can leave it there. For anyone that might like to reach out to you or your accounting practice or anything like that, would you like to, provide a resource or link for people to get in contact with you? It's completely voluntary. It's up to you.
More than happy to. I'll definitely provide actually a direct line of contact. More than happy for people to send a bit of an email to our accounting firm here, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at keshab.com.au. So admin at keshab.com.au. That's a firm which I'm in a transitioning partnership role in. Please feel free to call our office if you have any further questions and want to set up a bit of a teleconference. On 0296 335 511, but more than happy to touch base with people. And you know, if you have any questions about tax and accounting, and you feel that our firm could help you move forward, more than happy to have a chat.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll certainly include those details on the website. And Jeremy, really appreciate your time. It's been extremely helpful. Hopefully we can keep in touch and continue following your journey, which is certainly an exciting one.
Dan, a pleasure, mate. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Jeremy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.